As Maurice mentioned, my name is David Driscoll, and I am the director of the Institute for Circumpolar Health Studies at the University of Alaska, Anchorage. And today I'll be talking a little bit about an evaluation that we recently conducted of a PCMH home model applied in Alaska. Just for curiosity's sake, how many people here are familiar with South Central Foundation in Alaska? Okay, so I'll start off by providing a little bit of information about that, and I have no relationships to disclose. South Central Foundation is a healthcare organization that serves the Alaska Native and American Indian residents of the Anchorage region of the state, the South Central region of the state, which is a very large population, about 60,000 patients. And starting in 1999, South Central Foundation took over responsibility for providing primary care to those residents from the Indian Health Service, the IHS, that had been providing that care for quite some time previously. And so these two photos show the rather grim-looking TB ward that was employed by IHS to provide health care, primary care for Alaska Natives, and then the new South Central Foundation clinical facility that is currently being employed. And the process by which this took place was really the purpose of the study. Is we wanted to try and understand exactly what happened and how effective was it. So as you can see, this was a fairly long-term evolution. There were three basic components that I want to talk about today, and I'll briefly describe each to you as it relates to how South Central Foundation approached this challenge. So the first one was the use of something referred to as empanelment within South Central Foundation, which basically means that a patient was matched to a primary healthcare provider team so that that patient knew who their provider was on a consistent basis. They could develop a relationship with that person through the process of empanelment. A second component of this new system was enhanced and oftentimes same-day access to healthcare, which at South Central Foundation is referred to as open access. And then finally, the implementation of integrated primary care teams or team-based care. And so over the course of about 16 years, this process of, first of all, taking responsibility for providing primary care and then making these changes to the system have provided researchers an opportunity to really look at the process and the long-term consequences of this kind of a model, which at South Central Foundation is referred to as the NUCA model of care. Okay, so one thing I would like to point out as we're looking at this is some really key points are that South Central Foundation assumes complete responsibility in 98. The empanelment process begins in family medicine in 99. Open access begins in family medicine in 99. Empanelment begins in pediatrics in 2000, and then open access begins in pediatrics in 2000. And then from that point on, there are these transitional changes to the integrated care teams, such that eventually they included behavioral health consultants, or BHCs, nutritionists, as well as appointment schedulers, people who can assist in ensuring that patients had a chance to meet with the people they needed to talk to. Okay, so the process by which we conducted this evaluation was a mixed method design. So in other words, we collected secondary data from an RPMS data system employed by South Central Foundation at the time. And those time series clinical data were analyzed quantitatively or statistically. And then subsequent to that, we collected primary data in the form of qualitative interviews. So we were able to look at what the quantitative data were telling us and then follow up with members of various stakeholder groups to try and figure out exactly what happened. So we could sort of see the outcomes first, and then based upon those outcomes, determine where we really wanted to probe as it related to some of the interviews that we conducted over time. So here's an example of an analytic crosswalk. And for those of you who are familiar with mixed method designs, you've seen this before. But the general idea here is that before you start the research, you should have some idea as to how it is you anticipate integrating the data. And the whole concept behind a mixed method design is that the integration of quantitative and qualitative data can maximize the strengths and minimize the weaknesses of each data type by providing important contextual data to the quantitative information and important rigor and specifically external validity to the qualitative data. So this study employed this crosswalk to try and ensure that we knew exactly which qualitative data were relevant to which quantitative data. Now I'm going to focus first on the quantitative and then talk about the qualitative. So in this case, we ended up using a time series analysis as a consequence of the fact that the intervention, if you will, the program that we were evaluating didn't just happen overnight. It wasn't like a switch went off and suddenly we had a primary care medical home or a primary centered medical home. We had to sort of watch that evolution from the secondary data and then figure out where the phases occurred. And so we'll talk about that a little bit more, but specifically the components of the PCMH that we were very interested in had to do with changes in emergency care for any reason, changes in emergency care specifically for asthma and for unintentional injuries. We were using the unintentional injuries as a control, the idea being that if someone develops a patient-centered medical home model, it probably isn't going to have a lot of influence on how many car accidents people have or how many times people are going to fall off a ladder or what have you, because that wasn't one of the foci of the PCMH. And so those data would allow us to determine whether or not there were any changes taking place in the population separate from the PCMH implementation. We also looked at hospital use for any reason, once again for diabetic patients, and once again for unintentional injury or control. So now let me just kind of introduce you to a few of these data. I'm going to have to walk through them fairly quickly, but let me just say now I'd be happy to provide any further information if you have any questions. At the end of this presentation, I'll provide my contact information as well as that of the other members of the study team. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to tell you a little bit more. You're looking at two different lines here. The first one, the rate calculation, is the actual ratio calculated each month. In this case, for this one, we're looking at people who were hospitalized for any reason per 1,000 patients in the PCMH. So in this case, you're looking at the number of people who stayed in that month at least one day divided by the total number of enrolled patients living in that area times 1,000. And the blue line is the predicted value, which is that same number, except in this case, it's there's an error term derived from the previous month's correlation that is removed. And what that does is it helps us to smooth out some of the erratic nature of the line. You can see that the first one fluctuates a great deal, whereas the other one is a little bit straighter and provides us a little bit better of an idea as to the trend. So very briefly, what we're seeing here is at the beginning of the study, approximately 9.1 patients had at least one inpatient hospitalization each month per 1,000 enrolled patients. And this rate remained constant from the beginning of the study in March 1996 through about July 2000. And then during the transition from August 2000 until April 2005, that rate decreased by approximately 0.05 of a patient per month with at least one inpatient hospitalization. So that during the final period of the study, from 2005 until 2009, the rate steadied out again and remained constant at approximately 7.3 patients with at least one inpatient hospitalization per 1,000 enrolled patients, which was lower than the initial rate by about 1.8 patients per month. So once again, we have a very similar trend as it relates to the monthly hospital use for diabetic patients. And so in this case, what you're seeing is approximately 7 per 1,000 diabetic patients sought hospital care prior to the implementation. It dropped to approximately 4 per 1,000 in 2006, and then once again, steady state. So if you'll recall, 2000 was when the empanelment process began, and then around 2005 or so was when the team-based care model had really sort of been finalized in that we knew exactly who were on those teams, and it included a scheduler who could help with that process. So I'm just going to walk through a few more slides very quickly. Once again, here's a similar trend. This is monthly EC use for any reason per 1,000 patients. I want to try and explain some of these fluctuations you see. Anytime you're using RPMS data, secondary data, especially data that has been collected in clinical settings over time, in some cases by different systems, you're going to run into some data quality issues. And I think that these giant drops that you see here are artifacts of the data management process. I don't think anything happened in the patient population that correlates with these immense drops. But once again, you can see a fairly steady rise in the number prior to the implementation of this new model, and then a drop to about 2005, and then steady state. Now, this is interesting because in this case, we're looking at bimonthly EC use for asthma patients, both primary or secondary diagnosis, per 1,000 asthma patients. And in this case, what we're seeing is that there's a consistent trend downward starting before implementation of the NUCA model, and I have a little bit more information about that from the qualitative data. And now what we're looking at are the controls. This is monthly EC use for unintentional injuries per 1,000 patients. And once again, it's interesting because we see a similar trend in that we see an increasing number of rate until about 2,000, and then that rate begins to fall. And this is our control population. So just to triangulate with that or verify that, we also looked at monthly hospital use for unintentional injuries for 1,000 patients. And once again, we see the same general trend, in this case, a fairly minor increase over the course of preceding the intervention, then a fairly sharp drop, and then a plateau. So something's happening in the population overall as well as what's happening as a consequence of the development of the PCMH, but I would put on these changes are relatively minor compared to the changes that we saw in some of the other populations. So now let me tell you a little bit about the qualitative data that we collected. We saw these numbers, especially the EC use changes related both to overall and then specifically some of the chronic health problems I listed. And so we conducted 45 semi-structured interviews. A semi-structured interview is one in which you have a series of structured questions that you're going to ask of everyone in the same order, in the same words. And then depending upon their responses to those, you may have contextual probes. That is, you're going to ask people questions specifically about what they just provided you, so you can follow up on emergent themes that you may not have expected. In this case, we kind of had to divide our efforts a little bit. The ICHS team, that is the group from UAA, focused on employees of the system, and we were very careful to do a random sample of those employees across the system, and we interviewed those folks off campus so that they didn't feel like there was any pressure or the potential for anyone overhearing what they were telling us about their experiences. The South Central Foundation team interviewed the tribal leaders, and they also interviewed patients. And in that case, they interviewed those folks through a convenient sample where they put out ads and listservs and via newsletters and identified individuals for interviews. We transcribed all these interviews, and we coded them for emergent themes, and we specifically looked at some of the key components of the PCMH model as analytic units for our coding process. So let me just talk very briefly about some of our findings as it relates to those key components. The empanelment process, which is a really important process for any patient-centered medical home model, it's very important that there be some sort of a process whereby patients can develop a relationship with a provider. And so the process that was employed at South Central Foundation was somewhat challenging, in that patients were given an opportunity in many cases to choose a provider or at least a provider team from information provided by South Central Foundation. So they were given a list of providers and said, you know, here are the people that you can choose from. Go ahead and select one and let us know if you like them, if you, you know, want to work with this team. About half the patients took advantage of that opportunity. About half didn't. They were just randomly assigned to a provider. And so that difference actually represented something of an interesting confounding factor as it related to the experiences that people had with empanelment. For some, it was very frustrating. For others, it was not so. We did run into an interesting issue with those individuals who chose their provider. Some of them were referred to as panel jumpers. In other words, these people chose their primary care team and then, within a few days, chose a different primary care team and then another primary care team. And in some cases, they did so because they didn't like the first one or the second. But in some cases, it was because they were just trying to schedule an appointment. They couldn't get one on that day, so they went with a different team. As you might imagine, if you're trying to develop a PCMH that involves developing relationships with a specific provider, this represents something of a challenge for South Central Foundation. And so what they ended up doing was they developed a process whereby they identified those panel jumpers and met with them and tried to identify exactly what were their needs and how can they be met by the system. And they also developed some limitations on how many times you could jump from one panel to another in a given year. The overall result of this process was we did find increased levels of trust. People felt like they could talk to their provider, and they had better communication with that provider. So the overall process, while challenging to implement, did demonstrate some improvement in some of the important metrics of a patient-provider relationship. Secondly, regarding open access, that was where you could try and get an appointment on that day or soon thereafter. This was also very challenging to implement, not for the patients, but for the providers. We're talking here about providers who, in some cases, are being told they're going to see dozens of patients in a day. And in some cases, they don't know who they're going to be. They're given a schedule at the beginning of the day, but by 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they look at their schedule and there's another dozen people on there. And so it's, thank you. And so as a consequence, it's very hard to really understand when you can get off work, what your daily schedule is going to look like as you go in the morning, and that creates a lot of stress for many providers. And so as a consequence, there was a hemorrhage of some providers in the system. And as you can see from some of these quotes, providers and administrators talked about that. South Central Foundation once again came up with a process whereby they put a case manager or a scheduler on each team whose job it was to try and kind of spread the pain a little bit as it related to the various providers in the system. They also tried to ensure that the patients were placed with the provider who could best meet their needs, thus ensuring that they didn't necessarily have to meet with a clinician or a physician. They could meet with a dietitian or, you know, a behavioral health specialist or someone who could actually meet their needs. And once again, all patients felt that this was providing them with more timely access to primary care services, specifically as it related to a comparison with the IHS system. Finally, as it relates to the team-based care, a qualitative finding suggested that physicians really were challenged by this process because physicians weren't used to handing off their patient. They weren't used to saying, okay, well, we're not actually the right people to talk to. I don't know how to deal with this. I'm going to give you to this behavioral health specialist, or I'm going to give you to a dietitian. This was a learning process. It was a culture change. But South Central Foundation once again changed a lot of the process. They also changed the clinical layout of the facility so that physicians and the members of their team were co-located next to one another so that they knew about issues and they were able to communicate them effectively. So just very briefly as it relates to our mixed method design, we were able to, in linking our secondary and primary data as it relates to EC use, really begin to identify precisely how it is that the development of the empanelment process was associated with reductions in EC use over time. As you can see from some of these quotes, many patients told us that they were going to the emergency room for care. It was where they went routinely for care. But as a consequence of open access and empanelment, they knew who their care provider was, and they knew they could see that provider right away. It became more likely that they would go to their primary care provider rather than the emergency room for care, which is a huge savings for a healthcare system. I should also mention that as it related specifically to those asthma findings, asthma was actually one of those areas that IHS had developed a system that was focused on asthma from the beginning. They had specialists working on that. And so as a consequence, that's why you saw that trend falling, and we found that out in qualitative interviews with providers who told us that at one time they were asthma specialists. And so there was this existing program, and that explains why we saw that drop before intervention of the NUCA model. So in conclusion, the development of any kind of evaluation of this sort of a program is challenging in that in some cases you're dealing with data, secondary data, that have been collected by perhaps members of the provider community who are no longer working in that clinic. The protocols by which they provide those data have changed over time. And in some cases they may think they have the data, but when you go and actually look at it, you find the cells are empty. So it's a rather challenging process, and those of you who are interested in doing evaluations of this kind should probably be prepared for that. The secondary quantitative analysis, however, did help us in that it indicated reductions in monthly hospital and ECUs for any reason, as well as for diabetes and for asthma. And these findings were also demonstrate that unintentional injury is falling as well. So the population itself was growing healthier even as the PCMH was implemented in those communities. So I think there was probably a twofold effect here to try and to explain some of these changes over time. And finally, the primary qualitative analysis indicates that implementation of many of these components were associated with a lot of challenges up front, both provider overload and frustration and patient frustration. But overall, in the long term, they were effective, and they did allow the system to transition many of its points of care from the EC to the primary care provider. So the integration of the qualitative and the quantitative data in this evaluation indicated that some aspects of the reduction in EC use can be associated with enhanced access at South Central Foundation in its NUCA system of care. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge the members of my team, both here at UAA as well as at the South Central Foundation, and as well as to acknowledge the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality that provided the grant to support this research. Thank you very much.